Well, God willing, I think we got some better signal. The storms have passed a little bit, so hopefully we're good to go. We have one of my favorite guests is on, Joel Skousen. He's the purveyor of worldaffairsbrief.com, the writer of it, a fantastic resource if you want to keep up with a variety of things, economy, world events, worldaffairsbrief.com. Joel Skousen is the editor-in-chief. He's also the author of a couple books, Strategic Relocation and Secure Home. You know, 10 years ago, if you tell your in-laws, hey, maybe you need to check out this Strategic Relocation book, they'd probably look at you funny. Now they'd be like, what's that book you were telling me about 10 years ago? Strategic Relocation, Secure Home, worldaffairsbrief.com. A pleasure to always to talk to Joel Skousen. Joel, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Good to be with you, as usual.
Well, let's start with the biggest story of the past week or so. You know, we've had other people discuss this. Let's have your 2 cents on this, your opinion about the Epstein situation. What do you take from all this?
Well, obviously, you know, the government is hiding an awful lot. You know, you find his logs about who visited the cell have been disappeared, and you know, the autopsy, we're not able to see a lot of the actual details. The camera supposedly didn't work, showing who would have gone into a cell. Just so many anomalies that talk about or speak or hint at the typical prison, you know, type of killing that often occurs. You know, the prisons of the United States have always been run through private contractors as part of an extension of the dark side of government, or the deep state, as many people call it now. I mean, when you look at how many drugs are in prison and how many gangs operate in prison and how many mafia osos are able to communicate and continue to work, I mean, the prison system is a very corrupt system. If somebody wants to be eliminated, it's not hard to do it. But all the signs really point to a murder rather than a suicide. I mean, there was nothing higher in the room than his six-foot-tall frame to hang from. So they're now talking about him leaning forward with soft bed sheets around his neck, you know, and strangle himself and breaking three neck bones in the process. That's just a virtual impossibility. I really feel that he had to be silenced, because in a court situation, he would be forced to reveal an awful lot. There's a lot of victims, a lot more to come forward, and they simply didn't want, you know, the heavy hitter names that are out there that have been part of the Epstein you know, corruption scandal. And this isn't just personal corruption. This isn't personal pedophilia, even though he was a pedophile. I mean, this, in my opinion, because of all the surveillance cameras and the secret manner of his income funds, nobody in Wall Street ever traded with him. So how does a billion-dollar so-called hedge fund trader make a living, you know, if he's not trading? And
was he connected to Israel? Was he Mossad?
No, you know, there's a lot been made about this because of Ghislaine Maxwell, the daughter of Robert Maxwell, who was actually a communist. Robert Maxwell was a communist, was attracted to the Israeli movement. He helped fund and worked, did a lot for Israel. But a lot of people don't realize that the original Israeli Zionists were Marxists, and that's why the entire state of Israel was one Marxist community. They had to, you know, take children away from families and put them in the kibbutzim and under nursery care. They had the Histadrut, which is the labor union, which controlled all labor. You know, it was essentially a Marxist state, and that's what attracted Robert Maxwell to it. But the point is that it's very difficult to separate anything pro-Mossad from deep state, because the Mossad is an extension of the deep state, a seamless extension. The NSA, for example, and the CIA have hired Israeli firms to do all of their domestic spying for years.
Wow.
And a lot of people have had points, you know, read articles about why does Israel spy on America? Well, it isn't that Israel is spying. They're doing it on behalf of our own deep state. It's kind of an arm's-length transaction. That if it gets discovered, well, it's Israel. It's not, you know, the U.S. government doing it. But there's no way that you can say, if there's an Israeli connection, that this is a Mossad exclusive operation, just like Mossad was involved in 9/11. But this was a deep state operation. It was a minor role compared to all the planning and engineering that went through the by the deep state to carry off 9/11, including the hiring of the terrorists, the planting of explosives in the buildings, etc. So I'm not buying that Epstein was a Mossad agent. I think the Mossad was involved, but only in the sense that, you know, they're integrally involved with domestic spying, and Epstein was running a deep state blackmail ring, inviting all the heavy and powerful people around the world, photographing them so that they don't have to be blackmailed. A lot of these people are willing participants, but if anyone should ever get cold feet, they can always bring up these tapes of them having sex with underage girls and threaten them. And that's the way the blackmail operation works. I don't think it had to be used very often at all.
FBI? For example, let me ask, not Mossad, maybe Mossad is just because Mossad's involved with everything. Was this centrally an FBI blackmail or just deep state? Or there's everything so connected
much,
now?
Much bigger than the FBI. This was a deep state operation. You know, we don't find direct links to the FBI in terms of the payoffs and the funding. And but, you know it's deep state when you have two aircraft numbers assigned to or the same aircraft number, an N number, assigned to two different aircrafts. Only a deep state intervention with the FAA can get that done.
Wow.
I mean, the FAA doesn't allow that. So it has to be higher than the FBI, higher than the Mossad. And I say, you know, the dark side of government, which has control of every law enforcement agency at the federal level, and both political parties, is able to manipulate a tremendous amount of power. And Epstein, you know, it's just expendable. I talked about it in the World Affairs Brief last Friday, and people can get a free copy of that if they want by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. But I cover the fact that there's a lot of false conspiracy theories about, you know, hypothesizing that he simply was disappeared and is living out another, you know, lifestyle as one of the protected few. But, you know, I think that Epstein is expendable. There's no indication that this was a real great thinker in the globalist sense, in the terms of Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger, that would merit, you know, such an expense. And it's very difficult to stay in hiding for the rest of your life. And I think they killed him. It's the easiest solution, and all the indications point to the fact that they tried to kill him 3 weeks before in July with
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I didn't plan on spending a ton of time on Epstein, but you're bringing up such good points. So this is really, I think, good to kind of wrap up this discussion. Couple things come to my mind. My uncle and I were racking our brains trying to think of when has there been a more infamous prisoner in the American prisons with more radioactive information. I mean, if what we're being told or what we speculate is true, I mean, he's got to be the most infamous criminal since Lee Harvey Oswald in American history. And yet he is in a cell with another inmate. How in the world is he not under 24-hour surveillance, under military protection? How in the world? I mean, if I'm Trump, I'm like, I bring him to the Oval Office and I sit him down and I say, look, you give me a conviction on these people. You tell what you know. You convict these people. I will pardon you right now if you can get me a conviction on that. This is the most radioactive information we've maybe ever have seen by a prisoner, at least that we know about.
Well, that's right, but you've got to remember that the American people and even Donald Trump trust the Department of Justice. He trusts Bill Barr. He thinks Bill Barr is loyal to him. He's totally clueless that Bill Barr is deep state, has been ever since he was Attorney General under George H.W. Bush and covered up for all the drug running the CIA did during Iran-Contra and the suppression of the information by Terry Reid in his excellent book, Compromised, about that era. I mean, this is just ludicrous that Bill Barr is on our side. And so the Southern District of New York, of course, which covers all the cesspool of the New York metro area, is as corrupt as it could be and always has been. And so this whole confidence that justice and the wheels are turning and that Bill Barr's promised that he'll find out all of the dirty deeds of the deep state against President Trump, never going to happen.
Does it, and it's kind of suspicious to me, after this happened, that Trump wasn't in front of the TV screaming, how in the world did this happen? I mean, I would have been screaming, how in the world, what in the heck is going on out here? Are we that, is the swamp that deep that they can, I would have been screaming about this.
Well, you know, Trump really doesn't have any real deep experience in conspiracy fact and theory. And so, you know, that's
why. Well, don't you think he's up to speed? Joel, don't you think he's getting up to speed pretty quick? I mean, don't you think he has to realize? You don't.
Not at all. I mean, look, his whole agenda is controlled. What free time he has, he watches Fox News. What are you going to learn from Fox News about conspiracy?
Good question.
No, he's not allowed to see anything else. You know, he used to watch a little bit of Alex Jones, but, you know, what do you do as a president? You know, you've got to bring in the real experts to be able to prosecute a deep state and to find out. I mean, he names Christopher Wray to replace James Comey, and Christopher Wray helped cover up with Robert Mueller the 9/11 and Enron and all of those other conspiracies. It's deep state. Even Brett Kavanaugh was deep state, who he named to the Supreme Court as a conservative. He was the second in command to Ken Starr when he covered up for the Vince Foster murder, another U.S. claimed suicide that was actually a murder. I mean, it's very, very similar in the makeup, except this happened in a prison cell. But I'm convinced they silenced Jeffrey Epstein to keep him from talking, to keep this information. And, you know, what's interesting is now, the 2 days before he commits suicide, supposedly, or was murdered, he has a new will, creates a trust where he transfers all of these, you know, $600 million worth of property to unknown people. And so far, the judge isn't going to break the trust and decide to tell us who's getting. I mean, this would be a link to the deep state. Anybody this property is being transferred is deep state, and we're not being told.
I mean, his whole estate, he's not trading. He's not a hedge fund trader because he's not trading with anybody. It has to be a huge money laundering operation and funneling to politicians.
Well, it's more of a money income stream, not a money laundering. Money laundering is where you have illegal activity that you launder through legitimate businesses that you own, like the mafia does, or banks that are CIA connected. But this is a money spending operation from the deep state. I mean, can you imagine the money it took to buy all of these resorts and whole islands and Gulfstream 5 jets and helicopters? I mean, this is big money spending.
You mentioned
part of that funnel of that big money was coming through Lex Wexner, who is also deep state. This is a money spending operation, not a money laundering operation.
You mentioned
had a very specific purpose to corrupt the world and make sure the politicians, they had dirt on them so they could control them.
Well, to hold the world. The world, the politicians were already corrupt. I think it's to hold it there.
It's to control them, make sure that they can be controlled.
Yeah.
And remember, it's not just illicit. They got Trump, I'm sure, having illicit sex with an overage woman, or, you know, not an underage woman. And so that's not big news. They can't blackmail Trump over that. That's why they're into pedophilia. That's why they're into gay and homosexual stuff, which Trump isn't into. And that's why he broke with, you know, Epstein over Mar-a-Lago trying to, solicit underage employees for his network. And Trump got upset about that. Trump is no moral paragon, but he's not into underage or gay sex.
Kavanaugh, you mentioned Kavanaugh. That reminds me of something we haven't talked about in a while. I'll bring it up to you. Several states have pushed on this abortion issue, you know, Missouri, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, being pretty restrictive about abortions, limiting it to a heartbeat. Once there's a heartbeat, no abortions. We hear talk that this is going to make it up to the Supreme Court. Do you feel that that's true, and do you feel that Kavanaugh will cave when push comes to shove? How do you think this will go down?
I think both Kavanaugh and Gorsuch will cave. Both of them have indicated that Roe v. Wade is the settled law, and no interpretation as gross and extreme in its incorrectness as Roe v. Wade should be settled law. And yet that indicates that they're compromised. I mean, just like John Roberts, I mean, he's got I think there's evidence he's a closet homosexual, and they've got dirt on him, and so he can play the conservative role until they need him to change his mind, like they did, and he got the phone call of the night on Obamacare, and he turned.
You said Roe versus Wade being such a gross and a misinterpretation of law. Describe for our listeners, what do you mean by that? How is it so unconstitutional, unlawful?
Because there is no, you see, one of the weaknesses of the Constitution is it never really defined what fundamental rights are. And so the courts have been free to interpret and to invent new rights, like the right of privacy, and they interpret the right of abortion as part of the right of privacy. It's no business what you do, and so it's no. I mean, they completely avoided the right to life, which isn't in the Constitution, unfortunately. You see, if there were a true good Bill of Rights, which really limited, in my definition of Bill of Rights, is a fundamental right that all people simultaneously can do without forcing anyone else to serve their needs. In other words, everybody, you have a right to education. Everybody can claim a right without forcing someone to pay for the teachers in the school, and that's an impossibility. You can't have a fundamental right to health care because you have to force someone to provide the facilities and the labor and be the doctors, et cetera. So only fundamental rights can exist where everyone can claim, like the right to life, everyone can claim the right to live without a person intruding upon it. Everybody can claim the right to voluntarily contract with another. As long as it's voluntary and no one else's rights are violated, you can do that.
I'm going to flip this on you, and obviously I don't personally feel this way, but I'm going to flip this like they're going to say it. Well, if I'm a baby that's growing inside my mother, then I'm imposing myself on her, and I'm taking some of her rights by me living. So what would you say to that?
They do make that argument. Here's the counter to that. They exercise their right when they had sex. Then there is a consequence for exercising your free right to have sex. And I, as a libertarian, believe you can have sex with anybody you want in the privacy of your own home, as long as you're not viewing other people as offensive. They can do that. But it's just like you have the right to drive your car down the road, and then once you break into somebody's fence or house, you could no longer walk away from that. You've had a consequence from your exercise of right. So when they have sex, the baby is the consequence of that exercise. You no longer have the right to walk away from the consequence and say, I disavow this life that's within, because the purpose of government is to defend life, liberty, and property. And so, you see, once a new life is informed, and that's formed at conception, it's the government's duty to defend that life, and no longer do you have the right to expunge that life through your body because you already exercised your right in having sex.
So you don't see, you know, conservative people are pretty hopeful. They're seeing some movement. Certainly states are moving on this. On a national level, you don't see a Roe versus Wade being budged really at all.
Right. It's only in conservative states. I don't see the federal government ever overturning Roe v. Wade. It's just too controlled at the court level.
Do you see the states pushing? So let's say it did go to the Supreme Court and they push back on enforcing Roe versus Wade. Do you? I see a possibility that these states may ignore then the federal mandate. Do you think there's that much sentiment?
I don't think there's any nullification sentiment. Every conservative government has relatively mainstream people running it. The legislators, like in Idaho, are more conservative than government. Legislators in Utah, more conservative than government. Legislators in Mississippi, more conservative than the governor. Even though the governor's taking a good position, you know, on this now, when it comes to shove, whether or not they'll be able to say no to a federal mandate and have this Civil War question rise again, I don't see any of them having that kind of strength.
I don't think, I think, you know, like the Deep South, Alabama, I think people may underestimate the will and the fortitude of a bunch of rebels in the backwoods of Alabama.
Yeah, you got to remember, those aren't the people defending abortion, though. It's the church-going people, and they're declining in numbers. And as you have more industry pouring into the South, like North Carolina and Raleigh and South Carolina, you know, you have more and more northern liberals and Californians moving back east into those countries. So they're getting more liberal. Look at Texas, almost elected Beto O'Rourke. And that's going to be a blue state one of these days. So all of the conservative states are losing their conservative majorities. Not completely yet, but it's happening.
Well, we got a couple of minutes before the break. We're going to start a transition to another topic. The first hour in the news, we talked quite a bit about negative yield bonds. you know, Germany right now, if you give them $100 and 30, give you 95 back. I mean, this is ridiculous. Countries all over the world are offering negative yield bonds. Recession is looming. The inverted curve, the job numbers were falsified last year, supposedly. What are we staring at here? We got about, you know, 2 minutes probably for the break.
Well, I think that there is a very real, all of the real good economic indicators are negative. And part of that, and the majority of that reason is because of the tariff situation. Tariffs are always bad for economies because they skew people's decision-making. For example, the shipping rates for transoceanic shipping and air shipping rates spiked in 2018 and early, mostly in 2018 because of the threat of Trump talking about tariffs. They figure, like, we've got to haul in all this stuff before the tariffs come. And now the tariffs are arriving. The shipping rates are just plummeting because it does affect. For example, agricultural purchases from China are going to zero right now, and that's having a huge effect. It'll be very doubtful if Trump can win Iowa and Nebraska and other agricultural states because of the devastation. And you can throw more aid at them, but look at the $300 billion, red ink that Trump just signed off in this last we're looking at $40-50 trillion debt assumed by 2030 at the rate that we're going. I mean, no politician has the guts to say no to government spending anymore. So I think we're on an inexorable trail towards economic problems, not collapse, but certainly a recession.
Well, and Trump, from the Oval Office, calling for even saying we need quantitative easing, we need lower rates, we need quantitative easing. I mean, if a president would have said that 10 years ago, that people would have been aghast. He's openly calling for it and desperately needing it.
Because that's the only thing the politicians have. Nobody's had the guts to say no, and everyone tighten the belt and stop spending. Nobody said, and you have the possibility to do that with the debt ceiling limit spending. You don't need a balanced budget amendment. Just don't raise the debt ceiling. And nobody's got the courage to do that except a few in Congress.
What president was it? There's the music. But was it Harding? No, who was it? The Roaring Twenties. They fired about half the government, and that's when the Roaring Twenties happened. I think the only way we're out of this is we could fire about two-thirds of the government without anyway, there's the break. More on the other side, worldaffairsbrief.com. Joel Skousen, stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Kirkman by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Stream's probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Stream's probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Stream's probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bios Superfood. I've taken Bios Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made good for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, thepowermall.com. That's where we get the fuel to put in this car to drive down the internet highway here of independent media. And that's what we are. We're really, this is mainstream media. Fox News and CNN, they're not mainstream. They're corporate agendized media. This is independent thought. And having people like Joel Skousen on here to be able to talk about real issues, real thought, without an agenda. You know, just to have an opinion without having an agenda in the back of your mind. Imagine that. It's becoming more apparent every day. So we have great specials over at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829. Of course, all the detox products, the Stetcher meters. We had a great interview with Dave Stetcher yesterday. Thank you so much for your purchases, ladies and gentlemen. The Iron Earth is fantastic. Whatever you're growing, check that out. Strauss Heart Drops, the REM Sleep, all on sale. You can do auto ship, lock in your price, get free shipping. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. We're talking to Joel Skousen, editor of World Affairs Brief. He's kindly offered to give you a free copy of his brief so you can get an example. Email editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, and I'm sure that he'll get one right over to you so you can check it out and see. It's well worth it. It's a really great independent mind that we have in Joel Skousen. He's written a couple books that he wanted us to mention. Strategic Relocation. How long ago did you write that book, Joel?
Well, it was just updated recently in 2017, but I wrote it originally in about the year 2000, about the time of Y2K, when there was such a move to flee the cities for fear of a meltdown.
And then the other book, Secure Home. So we have an updated version of Strategic Relocation and the book Secure Home. Let's just tie up that recession talk. We were talking about that before the break. Do you see a situation with these trade wars? I've had other guests on. Daniel Estelin is kind of saying that economies are now going to start being regional. Is this a step, you know, with recession, with the trade wars, the tariffs, whatever, where we're going to see America be a lot more isolationist, at least in our hemisphere, a more regional economy? Is that possible, or what do you see?
Well, I don't really see that. You know, the American, the tariffs are really a problem. You know, China, of course, is a predator nation economically as well as militarily, and we never should have opened the trade doors to China. And what's, now that the problem is that you've opened the trade doors and people are used to the cheap products, I mean, there'd be hell to pay politically, you know, if everything in China, you know, from China, you know, went up 20-30%.
Who needs who more? Let me ask you, who needs who more? Does China need us more or we need China more?
Well, China actually needs the West more than anything. We are the, you know, the U.S. and Europe are the major, you know,
markets.
Clients for production. So they need us very, very much. But you've got to remember that China and Russia both want to actually capture the West economies and blackmail them into submission through a nuclear war. They're not content, you know, just to trade with us. They want to actually dominate that trade, especially China wants to be the dominant economic power within the world. The reason that the U.S. needs China, actually they just need cheap production, is to hide their inflation. The true rate of inflation in the United States is 7-9% per year. I mean, you look at how housing prices boomed in the last 2 years once we came out of that recession. And, you know, prices went up, 30% and 15-20% in building materials. And yet the government still claims that the rate of inflation is 1.5%. It's just totally falsified.
Laughable. It's laughable.
And the point is that they need, the only reason the inflation hasn't showed up as much in people's pocketbook is because of increased production in cheaper places. Because of American labor rates are too high to produce those, and American regulations of the industry, whether it's OSHA or everything else, caused the price of production to go up very, very high in the United States. And so in these other countries, they don't have those regulations. They're able to produce much cheaper. And eventually that will end, just like prices in Japan now are higher. They used to be very, very cheap. Quality is high now and price is high. Taiwan, price is higher. Is still cheaper than Japan, and Korea, you know, was the new engine, and so many of our cars are made in Korea now. But those prices are increasing. And that's what will happen eventually in China, as you keep finding cheap labor. But that's the whole engine of inflation and how, trying to hide your inflation by buying ever cheaper products
that have been produced elsewhere. Now, what you just said, China's will to dominate and Russia's will to dominate our economy, this is a very important thing. I mean, no matter how it comes out, it's like a have-to thing that Trump confronts China and stops this imbalance then.
Well, in the first place, Trump doesn't even know how to stop this imbalance. You really have to actually put a prohibition. China has to stop this intellectual theft, property theft. You know, they require that
they're not going to. How are they going to go to?
No, they're not going to do that. And so basically, and this is why it's so painful, because once you allow China and people to move over there, and people are free to move over there, but you should never allow trade with a communist country. It's just like blockading Cuba or saying you just can't deal with Cuba. And that's the same thing. China is ruthless. It makes, you know, Cuba look like a picnic in terms of its ruthlessness and its gulags and other things that you never talk about. And the imprisonment and the forced abortion that they used to do. Never should have allowed trade with China on the fact of Trading with the Enemy Act. In other words, everything helps build China's military, and they are building military in leaps and bounds. Even the U.S. Pentagon is very, very worried about the fact that China and Russia military production will exceed the United States by the year 2029. And I think that's the approximate time frame they're going to strike when they're ready someday. But you never should have allowed economic growth and trade with a country that is your sworn enemy. And all communist countries are our sworn enemy, should not allow trade. And,
great point.
You know,
this is a
lot
great
of people
point.
Say, oh, yeah, you're going to build up this fervor for freedom, but nobody can have freedom in a communist country without guns, and nobody's got guns in China. How do you overthrow a government?
Well,
look at the riots going on in Hong Kong.
That's where I was going to go. You're leading me right to my next question. Hong Kong, is China going to swallow up Hong Kong too, or is Hong Kong going to be able to resist this?
No. it's a done deal. They've got troops on the border with Hong Kong right now ready to swoop in, just like they did Tiananmen Square, armored personnel carriers and thousands of troops. And what have the Hong Kong people got to defend themselves? Sticks and yellow construction helmets and things. And the police are infiltrating all the protesters. They're wearing yellow in civilian clothes and wearing yellow helmets and infiltrating and then arresting. I mean, it's just, you're dealing with a massive police state. And Hong Kong has always been in the death throes of China. Now with this extradition law, which is what has caused these protests, basically the Hong Kong government can extradite anyone to Chinese courts in mainland China, where they don't have the British court system as they still do in Hong Kong. And the Chinese hate that. They hate habeas corpus. They hate the right to have an attorney. They hate to have all those things that you don't have in China. So this extradition law is really a big thing to the Hong Kong people. Not to be extradited to China, where you can be thrown in prison without habeas corpus. But I think
this is quite
a. They don't have any arms.
This is quite a world that we're, describing here. You got recession looming. You got China, which is growing in. They're feeling their oats, so to speak. They're about to swallow Hong Kong. Whether it's real or whether our intelligence agency is pushing some of these protests, some of that protest, I don't know what percentage, is certainly organic. I mean, certainly those people's grandparents probably told them horror stories about China. Don't ever get involved with China. Don't ever get swallowed up by China. I mean, some people are willing to die. This is a crazy time right here. What is most important out of everything we've discussed so far, everything, certainly on America, what is the most important thing?
Well, the most important thing for people to wake up to is, one, that our government's already lost to the deep state. They control everything. In de facto, that doesn't mean they control every congressman. They've got about 75% of Congress that they can control them with. They control the courts, and including the Supreme Court, and they control the Senate through, you know, Republicans. Even though the Republicans have a majority, there are a minority of Republicans that are on the other side or working for the deep state. They always vote with the Democrats. And so, the thing that they're very good about today is they don't realize that you've already lost your liberty. Even though they're not arresting people and throwing you in jail, without cause, they can do that anytime they want. And they do that to certain people. They arrest people for selling milk to willing customers that isn't pasteurized.
Oh my
gosh. Arrest people for not having a permit to raise organic and selling it to willing customers. So
there's
no constitutional perfection for that. But because they're smart enough not to do it to the average Joe so that everyone continues to be fat, dumb, and happy. I mean, as we speak, Russia and China are building tremendous military arms, weapons of mass destruction. They're going to war with the West someday. It's going to be a nuclear war, and people are fat, dumb, and happy because the media isn't talking about it. Fox News isn't talking about it. And if the news doesn't make a drumbeat about it, it just doesn't exist. I mean, when's the last time you heard about the Ebola crisis? It's still raging in Africa. And yet you never hear about it because the media
isn't
doing
anything. How in the world is, never mind the immigrants coming across our southern border, how in the world is anybody on a plane from Congo being allowed to land in America right now?
That
even possible?
That's right. Or Kenya and Nairobi, they're arriving all the time, and it's a real problem. Ebola's getting here in small numbers, but it's still a problem. Mm. So, you know, we're still letting unvetted immigrants, refugees come through the United Nations. But Trump has not stopped that. Of course, the courts have blocked him, but he's not stopped it.
He can't even build a wall. Why doesn't he just declare it? It's a national emergency. We're building a wall. I don't want to hear about it. You can argue about it in court all you want. I think he has a constitutional authority to do that. I do. Thoughts?
He doesn't have the right legal advice. You see, he could say, as the President of the United States, my basic duty constitutes to protect the life, liberty, and property of the citizens.
Bingo.
And they're being invaded.
Bingo.
Across the border. And so, but what if he declare a national emergency? Overspending over Congress, and that's easily overruled as a violation of the Constitution. He's not getting good legal advice.
Let's transition again. We could go down this. obviously, you know, take a couple minutes. I talk about this quite often. If you're going to point to any one institution in our country, what the problem? In government, we're so far removed from government, forget about it. To me, the institution that is the most problem, the most problematic to us, is the quote-unquote public school system, the government school. To me, your thoughts on that?
Well, it is in terms of producing generation after generation of people who are ignorant about
yes.
the Constitution and its limits
yes.
and producing young Marxists or at least pro-government
yes.
socialists. And this entire generation that is being raised is being propagandized about the benefits of government spending. And, you know, no one ever talks about the victims of government programs, the businesses on the margin that with a little bit of increased taxes or regulation, they can't make any money. They're going out of business, and it's blamed on the free market when it's the imposition of the socialist and regulatory mandates of government that put people out of business on the margins. And so people more and more are having to go into government welfare schemes. And, of course, look at public schools, for example. Public schools take an increasing amount of taxes every year from property taxes and now income taxes of both states. They're not satisfied with taking 70% of your property taxes, of everybody, including those that don't use schools, like me who homeschool all my children. I'm having to pay for public schools that I disagree with. But aside from that argument, it's now an increasing percentage of income tax in every major state in the country. And I can tell you that in the recession, do you think those teachers and those education people are going to cut their budget?
No. It'll increase, like always.
I mean, they are building schools out the gazoo, these modern architectural palaces and things on other people's monies. The only real solution to that is to make, and of course it's impossible now that the majority have been corrupted by the benefits of having people like me pay for their lavish public schools, but the only real solution is everybody pay as a user fee completely for their own education. No more government funding of education, because it isn't a fundamental right. It is a direct benefit, and you need to, and you know, and values of education should always be competing. They should never be mandated by government. They are not our schools. They are government schools, and they're controlled by committees that are always, and even if you've got a conservative on the school board, the lawyers will sit there and tell you you can't do that because courts have ruled this and this and this and this.
I'm aghast. We had Rebecca Friedrichs on, who is in the union, school unions in California, and she's warning everybody about what they're teaching. You know, you think like this is future. No, they're teaching 5-year-olds they don't have a gender. They're having condom relay races with 10 and 11-year-olds in school right now. I'm just aghast. What won't we accept?
Well, they're preaching tolerance, of course, and I just don't see any end to this. In fact, I'm of the belief you don't ever want to go in and try to improve the public school. You want them to get as bad as they can get as soon as they can in order to drive people out. Even at the cost of having to support them through your taxes, people need to get their children out of public schools. They need to get away from the mandatory vaccines that are required to get into public schools. And the way to avoid that is to be, you know, homeschooled.
Do you see that? Do you see push coming to shove on that vaccine issue? Because obviously more and more people are saying no. The government is pushing. Now they're mandatory for school. People are going to say no. They're still going to want to get those other. I mean, at some point, they're going to be going house to house and saying, roll up your arm or we're going to arrest you. That's where it seems like it's going to go if we continue to say no.
I don't think that will happen until the war comes. Once the war comes and you've got martial law and you've got the ability to mandate everything, it can be very, very bad very, very quickly. The only other thing that can get worse quickly is, as we talked about in one of the prior briefs, if Trump continues to compromise the way that he is and wins another 4 years because the Democrats are shooting themselves in the foot with this full socialism garbage, if he wins another 4 years and continues to lose in the terms of effective policy and give in to these compromises, by 2024, I'll tell you, we're going to have a Democratic sweep in this country that'll take all the legislators of Congress and the presidency, and we're going to see legislation so fast and furious that we're going to lose right after right, month after month. That's what I fear, 2024, even if Trump gets reelected. It's not going to be a victory because he isn't capable of getting the job done. He just doesn't have the ability to fight against the bad advice he's getting from advisors.
We got about.
And look at this last budget. It was just a disaster. Gave everybody what they wanted. As long as the conservatives, and he got his defense thing. And of course, what's this defense? It's mostly towards globalist wars of intervention. It's not for national security. And so I really fear what another 4 years of Donald Trump is. Sure, it would be worse with a Democrat in office, but it's going to be worse in the long term for Americans because no conservative, true conservative leader can ever get any headway at all while Trump is there. He's such a dominant presence. His promises are so euphoric and so fulsome and false that we can't get any traction.
We'd almost be better, I hate to say this, in some ways, it's going to take the American people rising up and taking their power back, and that would have happened much quicker under Hillary Clinton. I mean, I hate to say that, but Hillary Clinton, I think, would have driven a certain percentage of Americans to be much more adamant about this, and Donald Trump almost lulls us to sleep in some ways.
Yes, for example, most conservative organizations, their fundraising has gone in the tank since Donald Trump was promising everyone success. And it's going to continue that way until the Democrats. But what I fear, though, is that even though you have a resurgence of opposition to the Democrats once they take power again, by the time these illegals get citizenship and more illegals pour across the border at the tune of a million a year, it's all over.
Let's take we got about,
because we're living in a democracy, and it goes back to the ultimate thing. It's the flaws of the Constitution. The Constitution did not put in precise legal language sufficient to keep the courts from interpreting away the intent of the founding fathers.
Joel, they don't follow it anyway, so it doesn't matter. You know,
it would be much more difficult if it actually prohibited welfare payments. If it prohibited property tax from being used to supply anything but the protection of property, prohibited from being used for public schools or police or fire or any of those types of things. An absolute prohibition is much, much more difficult to overcome than a general prohibition.
Well, the Second Amendment is very clear, but that doesn't stop them talking about gun control. So I agree.
No, it isn't very clear. I mean,
I think it's extremely clear.
Right of the people to bear arms as part of the militia, but it doesn't specify what arms, what level of arms, and they're getting all around it. Nobody needs an assault weapon. Well, you sure do when you get invaded by a gang of
people. Yeah, you sure do. Well,
just saying is it's not clear enough, and it's the best they could get. I mean,
it's the best it's ever been.
It's the best that they could get at the time. They barely got what they got. I mean, it was such a leap forward. But we depended on the goodness of the people to understand what the founders' intent was and what their purposes were, and the courts abided by that for the first 100 years.
Well, if we're ignorant, Joel, if we're ignorant and stupid and we don't know any different and our morals are gone and there's nothing that the Constitution can do anyway. I mean, really.
Well,
I mean, then that's
but,
where
you know,
we are.
There is much that you could do. For example, I'm not a believer in birthright citizenship, even for illegals, but even for citizens. I don't think your children ought to have citizenship automatically. I think they ought to have to qualify. In other words, if you set up a proper test whereby people had to learn what is appropriate law, what is not, and to sign on the dotted line, will not attempt to violate.
Okay,
the
so let's say
rights.
They don't. All right, then if they're born here, and they're born in America. Say they don't pass, then what are they?
Then they become a resident. They can't own property. They can't do a lot of things. You got to have incentives to become a citizen.
All right. We could have a whole hour on this conversation. This would be very interesting. We got 3 minutes.
You could overcome the public school propaganda by having a citizenship test properly designed so that people had to qualify and sign and commit not to violate other people's rights, properly defined as you define in the test. And so that, people would realize you just can't take other people's money, you know, and give to others through government.
Joel, politicians take an oath to the Constitution every day. Every time they're elected, they don't give a rat's patootie about it. They don't care at all.
And that's because they rely on the Constitution as interpreted by the courts, which is not the intent of the original Constitution.
All right, we have literally two minutes. I totally want to address your book. Strategic Relocation in 2 minutes. Give us some things to think about as we move forward, just where they live, some concepts and ideas they might want to consider.
Well, the biggest threat to people's long-term security is high-density population areas. That's what I cover in the book, as well as all the other things from, you know, crime to pollution to gun rights to homeschooling rights. I cover the whole range in the book about what states are best in terms of your ability to find that kind of liberty. But the point is, the biggest threat to our society is going to be a nuclear war coming in the next decade with Russia and China, and our government is going to allow that nuclear strike to fall so that they can basically, and it's not going to hit cities per se, it's going to hit military bases. The Russians and Chinese do not want to strike cities. They don't want to destroy the economy. They want to hit the military, blackmail us into submission, and our government's going to let that happen because it pushes people into joining a militarized global government in response in order to.
What about civil war? What about civil war before or after?
There's no sentiment for civil war on this thing. Just no sentiment for civil war.
Okay.
There's Antifa. There's all these criminal elements. But that's not civil war over ideological things like we had before. There's just no sentiment for that. But this war is the major trigger. And people are going to be fat, dumb, and happy right if it happens. And you don't want to be in a high population density center in any metro areas. And that's the problem. Your jobs are there. So you have to prepare for retreating. You have to prepare to have some place out of the big cities to go to, and a means to prepare. And that's what strategic relocation is all about.
I certainly encourage you to get the book Strategic Relocation. Where's the best place to buy it, Joel?
Well, it's available on my website, joelskousen.com, or on Amazon.
Oh, very good. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Boy, I really wish we could have gotten a couple of those things. Very good concepts, very good ideas. Joel Skousen, what a mind, what a patriot. WorldAffairsBrief.com, Strategic Relocation is the book, Secure Home. Joel, till next time, God bless you, my friend.
Thank you very much, Danny.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, have a fantastic evening. Tomorrow there'll be a guest host, Scott Bennett. Love Scott. So glad that he's going to join tomorrow. You take care. Take care of that family. And believe me, you have power. Feel good about that. This is the Power Hour. All right? You're part of this. God bless you. We'll see.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominate.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us.